We're holding on page Hoftes in Megillah about the end of the narrow lines towards the end of Ois Chavrol. We learned yesterday about the dinim of Shalchmanes and Matanis Lev Yonim and a little bit about the Suras Purim. And the last thing we said was Chayiv Inishal Vesumi Vepuria. So now the Gemara tells Rabbi Reb Zera of the Suras Purim Bahadi Adodi. Rabbi and Reb Zera one time made a Purim Surah together, Bosu the Ivsum, after they had become drunk, and we discussed yesterday whether Ivsum is more than an average drunk, or less than average, or equal to, whatever, come Rabbi b'shachtel Reb Zera. Rabbi got up and shechted Reb Zera. Now, you know, for us Chassidim, this is one of these phrases from the Gemara, where just hearing the words evokes an entire sicha that the Rebbe gave a whole new understanding of it that you don't find in earlier Mefarshim. Miriam Bas Vilga is another one. There are a few like that. But first, let's tell the story and we'll discuss what other Mefarshim say, and then we'll talk about the sicha. Lamacher, the next day, when the wine had dissipated and he realized what happened, then Rabbi Davin on behalf of Reb Zera, the Achye, and he revived him. Lashana Acheres, the next year, Omale, Rabbah again offers to Reb Zera, Lacey Maiv Nevid Sudas Purim Bahadi Adodi, come, let's make a Purim Suda together. Omale, and Reb Zera tells him, Lav Kol Shaita Beshaita, Mishra Chishnisa, a nest doesn't happen all the time, so not necessarily would the same nest happen in the future. Now, what's this Shachtel and Reb Zera? And you see that Reb Zera is, not even concerned about the possibility that that might happen again, and Rabba might be thereby doing a serious Aveda. All he's worried about is he might not survive the experience. So you have the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam brings, there's an essay from him printed at the beginning of the standard editions of Ein Yaakov, where he points out that many times when we talk about Maimori Chazal, especially in Agadta, we have to realize that sometimes they're speaking in a little bit of an exaggerated way. He gives various examples, and this is one of them, that he says wouldn't literally mean shafted, he picked up a knife and shafted him. It would mean, for example, that in his state of Ibsum, he injured him in his neck. So therefore, in like an exaggerated way, that can be called that he shafted him. Marshall talks about it over here, that it means that he got him to drink too much wine, and Reb Zera therefore was dangerously sick. It can be called shchita metaphorically, in the sense that both shchita and drinking involve the neck. So in that case, when it says Achye, that he davened for him, but Achye doesn't mean to revive him according to either of those explanations, because he wasn't actually dead, just means that he was cured. We find sometimes the word Chayim means a cure. Now, there are Mefarshim who talk about that it means some kind of ruchniistic thing, but the Rebbe is the one who gives the most detail about it. And he explains that Rabbah, the names themselves indicate what level they're on. Rabbah is Moshe great. It means rab, means great. Reb Zera, the word Zera is short for Zera, which means small. So Rabba has much more of capacity for much higher levels of connection to other course than Reb Zera does. So now, on this Purim, at their Suda, Rabba is trying to bring Reb Zera up to his level. But this is too much for Reb Zera, and therefore his neshama left him. Ein v'shochat ela u'mashach. The shchita has to do, is another word for meshicha, drawing. So Reb Zera's neshama was drawn so powerfully towards the lakus, like not even Aviv, So afterwards, Rabba davened for him. So now, when Rabba offers to do the same thing next year, what is he thinking? He doesn't realize, according to the other explanations, what are you going to say? Isn't he concerned that he's going to injure him again, or he's going to make him drink again? But no, because here Rabba had done nothing wrong, or he was trying to bring Reb Zera to open him up to a much higher level and a much deeper level of connection to Elikus than he ever had before, of knowledge of Torah and of Pnimius HaTorah and everything than he ever was capable of before. And Reb Zera is not even saying that, no, I'm not ready for it, but he's saying, I don't know if the same nest will happen again, if my neshama leaves my body again, I don't mind the experience itself of my neshama leaving my body, but I need it to return afterwards, because you have to do not only Rotzei, but also Shoiv, and I'm concerned that part might not happen. So that's the Rebbe's explanation in a nutshell. The sicha itself is in Chelek Lamed Aleph and goes, of course, into a lot more detail. The Gemara tells Rav Ashi have a Yosef Kamed Rav Kahana. One time, Rav Ashi was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Kahana, who was his Rebbe. Noga, it was late in the day on Purim day. Vole Osu Rabban, and the Chachamim, the other Chachamim, hadn't come for Rav Kahana's shiur. Ashi asks, my time, or Kahana is wondering, my time is different. You saw us actually how many people, how many people are speaking in this conversation back and which, who's speaking what line over here. But anyway, Omalei, Sarab Kahana wonders to Rav Ashi, my time, Alei, or Sarab Bonin, why have the Chachamim not come? Are they maybe busy with the Purim Soda? So again, you could have some of the Mephoshim parse it that Rav Kahana asks, that Rav Ashi asks, where are the Chachamim? And Rav Kahana says maybe they're busy with the Purim Soda, and Rav Ashi answers back with another question. Or you could say that, that Rav Kahana himself is asking, why aren't the Chachamim come? Are they maybe busy with their Purim Soda? So it's all one long question. Omalei, so Rav Ashi asks, will I have a little Efshel Mechlem the Urta? Couldn't they have eaten it yesterday evening? Now is Purim day. They could have eaten it last night going into Purim. Omalei, but Rav Kahana says, lo shmile lamar hodu omar rova, or it could be the other way around. To call him mar would usually be the Talmud to his Rebbe, so it's probably the other way around, actually, that Rav Ashi asked the original question, and Rav Kahana said, couldn't they have eaten it the night before? And Rav Ashi, who is the Talmud, tells Rav Kahana, lo shmile lamar, haven't you, Rebbe, heard hodu omar rova? This that Rava said, sudas porim sha'ochel balayla, lo yotzi de chevasi. You're not yotze, you chiyuv of the Purim Soda if you eat it by night. And the reason is because the pasuk says you may mish to the simcha, so it has to be by day. Omalei, Omar Rava Hochi. So Rav Kahana says, did Rava really say that? Omalei Ein, and Rav Ashi says yes. Tonuminei Boin Zimnin. So Rav Kahana then relearned that over and over from Rav Ashi 40 times. He had Rav Ashi repeat it to him, and he learned it 40 times. The dummy like him on the manach b'kise until he felt like he had it in his pocket. So by repeating it over and over again, he knew for sure that he's always going to remember it. We find in some places it says they would repeat, they would learn things over 100 times, but sometimes we find that 40 times is enough that you now know it. Maybe the difference is 100 times would be for something more complicated that you have to analyze. Here, where it's just a simple din, then you need 40 times. And that's Saka the Halacha. It does mention in Shulchan Aruch all the same, though, you should make your Suda on the night going into Purim a little fancier than normal, but in honor of the Yom Tov, but the primary Suda, because that's when the mitzvahs would be by day. They say famous vort on it, by the way, you know, that, like this, the Purim Suda usually lasts well into the night afterwards. So Purim is the one Yom Tov where the night afterwards becomes part of the Yom Tov as well. And Lahavdil by the Goyim, they have their Chogah, which begins the night before, the one in December. So they say the reason is because Purim comes to us because of a Goy. Therefore, we follow the Goyish style, and the day goes after the day goes before the night, and the night is a continuation of the day. That Chogah of theirs comes as a result of a Yid. Therefore, they do it Jewish style, and they start the night before. Further on, getting back to now, so before we learned a piece, we learned at the end of Os Chof Hei, we learned that the Gemara had said that you see that Talmud Torah is greater than Hatzolus Nefashis. We had the point where Mordechai, where some members of Sanhedrin had Pirushu Mimenu stayed away from Mordechai because he had taken the position as prime minister, and we said that in fact he went down one notch in his knowledge of Torah, and we said that, and then we see from that, therefore, that Talmud Torah is greater than Hatzolus Nefashis. So now the Gemara continues in that vein. Omer Rav, the Temer of Yitzchak Vashmo Bamarta, Godol Talmud Torah Yosem Abinyan Beis Mikdash. Learning Torah is even greater than building the Beis Mikdash. Shekol Zman Shehoya Boruch Benaria Kayim, as long as Boruch Benaria, who was Yirmiyahu's Talmud, and he was the Makabel Masorah of his times, for those of us who are learning Shlosha Parakim of Rambam, we just restarted the Rambam, and he lists over there the whole chain of Masorah from Moshe down to Rav Ashi, generation by generation, and you have there Yirmiyah taught Boruch Benaria, who in turn taught Ezra, and they're the Makablam of Torah. So as long as Baruch ben Neri was alive, Lohi Michai Ezra Va'ala, Ezra did not abandon him to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Now the point is, we learned in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah that they started, when they got permission from Dariavish II, the son of Esther and Achashverosh, to continue building the Beis Mikdash, that was in the second year of his reign. Meanwhile, we learned over there that Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael only in the seventh year of Dariavish's reign. So why did he wait all those extra years? Why didn't he come when they're building the Beis Mikdash? Or even earlier, when they came 18 years earlier, when Kodesh gave his proclamation, because Baruch ben Neriah, who his Rebbe, was alive, and Ezra didn't want to leave. Baruch ben Neriah himself couldn't go up. The Medrash actually says, because Baruch was very old and weak, and he never would have been able to survive the trip. So therefore, Ezra had no choice but to stay with him. So now, during those years, then Baruch passed away. Rashi brings actually that the earlier in the Perek, which is a piece that we skipped and we'll get back to, mentions that Baruch ben Neriah said Nevuah in the second year of Dariavish. So that means he remained in Bavel and he sent letters with his Nevuah to Yerushalayim. There is actually a book called Chazoin Baruch or something, which is one of the it's one of the Sforim Chitzoinim attributed to Baruch, but I think that's generally understood to be from something later and not actually from Baruch ben Neriah. But anyway, so Marsha actually says the fact is fine that that still doesn't explain then. So Baruch was alive in the second year of Dariavash, but then apparently Marsha says he passed away that same year. So then Ezra started making arrangements to go to Eretz Yisrael, and in the end he actually went some years later. But we see, in other words, that's why he didn't go when Kodesh announced it all those years earlier, because Baruch was still alive and Ezra needed to learn Torah. And Omer Rabba Babachana, Omer Yitzchak Ashwa by Marta Meshmeli Rab, Godel Talmud Torah Yosim Kibbut Av Ve'en. Learning Torah is even more important than Kibbut Av Ve'en. As we see, Shekol Osen Shonim, Shahoya Yaakov Avinu Beis Ever, all the years that Yaakov Avinu was learning in the Yeshiva of Ever, Lo Nana Shalehem, he was not punished for those. As the Gemara is now going to work out in detail, that Yaakov was away from home, from when he left, after he got the brachas, until he returned, was a total of 36 years. I think Gemara is going to work out in detail over here. Of those 36 years, the first 14, he spent hidden in Beis Eivor learning Torah. And later on, we find that he was punished, midah keneged midah, that Yosef was missing from him for 22 years. So why 22? Why not 36? So now, as the Gemara is going to work out, we see that the 14 years that he was learning Torah was not punished for those. Now, Marsha points out, okay, that doesn't show that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibbutz Av Ve'en. At most, it shows it's equal to it. But still, the point is that, fine, the Loshen Gadol Talmud Torah is really based on the Mishnah and Peah, which we say every morning in Eilu Dvarim, but Talmud Torah connected Kolon, so therefore that justifies saying that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibbutz Av Ve'en, which is also mentioned in that paragraph, even though it's true the actual proof we're bringing over here from Yaakov would only show that they're on an equal level. Marsha also brings, by the way, the question, which a number of other Mephoshim deal with, that the fact is Yaakov originally left with the permission of his parents. Rivka told him to go, and Yitzchak told him to go. So why is he being punished in the first place? So Marsha brings an answer from ultimately going back to the Ben Yechiel of Paris, that after 14 years, fine, Yaakov had to be there for 14 years until he had worked off the time for Rachel and for Leah, but then after that, Esav really had calmed down. At that point is when, now we find later on in Parshas Vayishlach, we find Devorah Menekas Rivka, Devorah the nursemaid of Rivka, who was traveling along with them and passed away on the way, and they buried her, and so forth. So what was she doing there? Because Rivka had sent her along to tell Yaakov it's time to return home, and Yaakov instead chose to stay there another 6 years. So therefore, it can all be held against him. Ben Yehoyada expands on that. In other words, once the Sutton could be makatrig on him for the extra year that he stayed there, then it could be makatrig on the rest of it also, with the argument that, look, here he voluntarily stayed another 6 years, and then he didn't have to stay the whole 14 years either. He could have made a different arrangement with Lavan and not have to stay there quite that long in the first place. So therefore, we're saying that he was nanash for all of that. So there are different other points as well. Ian Yaakov makes a point. Fine, it's not really a matter of an onesh so much. It's more a matter of the fact is that during all that time, Yaakov was not accomplishing the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ve'en, so he didn't have the schar during that time. So now he had, as a result of that Yosef was also deprived of the ability to do that and then get that schar for 22 years. So in that case, in other words, it doesn't really make a difference the fact that Yaakov went with his parents' permission. The fact is he's still not able to accomplish Kibbutz Av Ve'en during that time. So now the Gemara is going to work. By the way, Marsha points out the reason why we're mentioning it, Beis Eiver, usually we call it the Yeshiva of Shem Eiver. But by this time, Shem had already passed away. If we look at the figures in Parashas Noach, we find that Shem passed away when Yaakov was 50 years old. So when Yaakov was younger, when he and Esav were Naorim, and it says over there Yaakov was Yoshev Oyalim, and then he was luring in the yeshiva of Shem and Aver, because Shem was still alive. Now, by the time he got the brachas, and the Gemara is going to explain, they was 63 when he got the brachas, so Shem had passed away some years earlier, and therefore only Aver is left to run the yeshiva. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, Aver passed away 2 years after Yaakov left the yeshiva. So like this, how do we know? De Omer Abchiba Abba Omer Abyechanon, De Omer Mar, Loma Nimnu Shnois of Shoyishmol. We have to start with the question. At the end of Parshas Chayesara, it says how long Yishmol lived. Now, why do we need to know that? What do we need? Rashi explains, what do we need to know how long a Rosha lived? Okay, granted, Marshall says Yishmol did tshuva, but still, he wasn't a tzaddik his whole life. In the Torah, we find when it mentions the person's lifespan, it was a person who was a complete tzaddik from beginning to end. So why do we need to know by Yishmol? The reason is Kedei Yachas ben Shnois of Shor Yaakov, in order to calculate, based on them, the years of Yaakov. This Braisa comes from Seder Olam, which is a collection of Braises that deals with matters of chronology in Torah. And Rashi brings this whole thing at the end of Parashas Toldos, when he deals with the Psukim over there. So Dichtiv, the Eila Shnei Chai Yishmol, Ma'astronu Shloshim Shana V'Shem Ashanim. So it says Yishmol lived 137 years. So let's start with Kama Koshish Yishmol Miyitzchak. How much older was Yishmol than Yitzchak? Yudalim Shonim was 14 years older. Dichtiv Avram and Shmoinim Shana V'Sheish Shonim V'Ledes Hogar was Yishmol Avram. Avram was 86 when Yishmol was born. Uchtiv Avram and Ma'as Shonim V'Yivolad Lais Yitzchak Noi. And he was 100 when Yitzchak was born. So therefore, Yishmol was 14 years older than Yitzchak. Now, the Pasuk tells us that Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov and Esav were born. So, Bar Kama Havali Yishmol Kshenolad Yaakov. So, at that point, when Yaakov is born, how old is Yishmol? Bar Ayin Dalet. He's 74, because 60 plus 14. Kama Paishan Mishnei. How many years are left? He lived a total 137. At this point, he's 74. So how many more years did he have to live? Samach Gimel, 63 more years. V'tani. Now, the next stage is, we learn in a b'raisa, Ben Samach Gimel Shonim, Hoyo Yaakov Avinu, B'shoshin Isvarach Me'aviv. Yaakov was 63 years old when he got the brachas. So Rashi mentions on the Psukim over there in Parshas Toldos that Yitzchok was concerned. He's 123. He's within 5 years of when Sarah passed away. Maybe he's going to also die at a similar age to her, which is why he said, Lo yodaita yoy moisi, and he wants to give the brachas. So Yaakov at this time was 63. Over oisei perek mes Yishmol. And around that time is when Yishmol died. And we know that, dichtiv, and Pasuk says at the end of Parshas Toldos, "Vayar Esav kiverach Yitzchak es Yaakov." Esav saw that Yitzchak had benched Yaakov and sent him off to Padan Aram and so forth, and that he told him, "Don't marry Benos Kanaan." By Yishma Yaakov al Ovid v'Gomer, and he saw that Yaakov had listened to his father and gone to Haran. "Vayar Esav kiroyes Benos Kanaan v'Gomer." He realized that the daughters of Kanaan, who by this time, Esav himself got married at 40, so by this time he's married to them 23 years, and now he first taps up that this is that Yitzchak and Rivka don't like this. All this time, they've been a source of vexation and trouble to Yitzchak and Rivka. And in fact, there's one of the explanations why Yitzchak went blind was because of the smoke from their korbanos for Avodah Zarah. And all this time, Esav never paid attention until now. So now he realizes that Benos Kanaan are no good. And as Rashi said, he still stayed the same Rashi. He didn't divorce them, but he went and added at least to have one wife who was not from Benos Kanaan. Vayelach Esav al Yishmol. So he went to Yishmol. Vayikachas Machlas bas Yishmol lachos Nevoyus. And he married Machlas, the daughter of Yishmol, who was the sister of Nevoyus. Now Nevoyus is Yishmol's eldest son. At the end of Chayesara, when it lists Yishmol's children, Nevoyus is the first one. This Vayelach Esav al Yishmol, by the way, there was a very interesting thing in this, that there's a medrash that says that Esav didn't just have in mind over here to do, like we're saying over here on the surface, just to marry a wife who's not from Benos Kanaan in order to please his parents. He actually had ideas over here. He figured to himself what's going to happen is, you know, here you have a few psukim earlier, he's saying to himself, Yikruvu Yimei Evel Avi, I can't wait till my father dies, and then I'm going to get Yaakov. Meanwhile, he's also thinking, sooner or later, Yishmol is also going to die, and then I'm going to be able to inherit his property as well, because now that I'm married to his daughter. So he had plots over there to take over the whole thing, the inheritance of Yitzchak and of Yishmael, of Yitzchak and Yaakov, and of Yishmael and of his children. You have, in fact, the Nevuah in Sefer Yechezkel, where a Nevuah about Edom, about how they're going to be utterly destroyed, and the expression is in the Pasuk that the Navi says to Edom, you thought Shtei Ha'arotis Lihena, both of these lands are going to be mine. Poshet Pshat, that means, in other words, he's thinking, here I have my land of Seir, and I'm also going to take over Eretz Yisrael. But now, this Medrash explains that he also had in mind, I'm going to take over Eretz Yisrael, which was promised to Yitzchak and Yaakov, as well as whatever land Yishmael took over for himself, and I'm going to inherit that as well. And then, meanwhile, he didn't realize, as the puzzle continues, Hashem Shem Hoya, Hashem was there and knows exactly what you're plotting. Anyway, so. I mean, we have Rabbi Avigdor Miller says such things. It's true. I mean, you have something. There's a vort also from one of the rabbeim that says that you think that Esav was like one of these guys going around like in a t-shirt and whatever kind of purish clothing. No, he's wearing a zayin azupitzer and he's still an Esav. Yeah, it's true. Superficially, he looked like a good guy, but now we know the truth from the Torah, and the Navi is telling them also Hashem knows the truth. And Hashem knows what you're plotting over here. Anyway, so Mimashma Shenema Machlas Bas Yishmael in Yadesh Yachos Nevoyis. If we know that she's the daughter of Yishmael, this Machlas, automatically we know that she's also the sister of Nevoyis. So what is that? So why does the pasuk have to mention Achos Nevoyis? Ela Malamicha Kidcha Yishmael Avia. It means that Yishmael, her father, accepted kedushin on her behalf. Not literally kedushin, because we're not talking about a Jewish marriage over here, but in other words, we mean that she got engaged and Yishmael supervised that. V'isia nevoyas achiha, and her brother Nevoyas was the one who had to marry her off. So therefore it mentions both that she's the daughter of Yishmael and that she's the sister of Nevoyas. And Marsha points out, it has to be that Yishmael did something with the marriage over there. Otherwise, how do we know that? The whole point is to establish that Yishmael died shortly after Yaakov got the brachas and then left to Be'er Sheva. So it would have to be, and since also, he said, since the pasuk says, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael, means he went to Yishmael personally to arrange the shidduch. And then Yishmael died. I had a seventh grade Rebbe in Olei Torah, Reb Levi Bornstein, Zolzangazunt, who when he taught us this, he pointed out, what may well have happened is Yishmael realized what kind of a son-in-law he's getting and had a heart attack. Anyway, actually, yeah, so Yishmael died, and so we understand then, therefore, that we understand that Yishmael was 137, and meanwhile, we're saying at that time, Yaakov was 63. Now, the Yodalad to have a base Lavan, then we have to add another 14 years. So far, let's assume we don't know yet about the 14 years in the Yeshiva of Eder. So far, if we start counting from, he got the Brachas at 63, if we assume that right then and there he went to Choron and started working for Lavan, then you have the Yodalad to have a base Lavan ad the Isilid Yosef. He's spending 14 years in Lavan's house until Yosef is born. Ein Zion, that brings us to 77, and at that point he had finished working off all the time for Rachel and Leah. After that, he started working for him, as you have in Parshas Vayetze, where he makes an arrangement with Lavan that Lavan will pay him in sheep. But that's, like we said, like Marshall said before, that he didn't need to stay there anymore. At that point, he had already been told that Esav has calmed down, it's safe for him to return. And besides, it actually mentions on the Pesukim over there that once Yosef is born anyway, then he's safe from Esav, because Yosef uniquely has the power to combat Esav. So at that point, he shouldn't have stayed. Nevertheless, he stayed another 6 years. Now the pasuk says the Yosef and Shloshim Shonim Ba'omri Lifnei Parei Melech Mitzrayim. When Yosef came out of jail and interpreted Parei's dreams and was appointed prime minister, he was 30. So far that would bring us to Yaakov. Then, by assumption, would have been 107 years old at this point. The Zion to Sovo Bezal Katna. Then you have 7 years of the plenty in Mitzrayim and 2 of the famine that happened before Yaakov and his family showed up, because Yosef says to the brothers, Hizesh Nasayim Harab Bekarav Aretz, the famine has lasted 2 years, V'od Chomesh Shonim Asher in Chorosh V'Kotzer, and there's going to be another 5 when there's no plowing and no harvesting. In the event, Yaakov came and the famine stopped over there, and then Yaakov gave Kareb Bracha, and the Nubus rose when he came over there, and therefore, so the famine was over after 2 years. By the way, it's brought that, we learned yesterday or the day before, we learned about how the brothers came to Yosef after, uh, after Yaakov passed away, and they were nervous, and they were thinking he was going to take revenge on them. Part of the point was, why did Yosef says, Anuchi achal kol eschem, Rashi brings over there on the pasuk. Why does he have to say, I will sustain you? Can't they sustain themselves? The reason is because the famine restarted after Yaakov passed away. So therefore they have another 5 years of famine. There's, on top of that, also, there's an interesting thing. In Sefer Yechezkel, it tells, there's a nevuah over there. We have it as Achtorah of Parshas Va'era, where Hashem says that Mitzrayim is going to be conquered and depopulated by Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to take all the people and take them out of Mitzrayim and then scatter them among other nations. And the land is going to be empty and desolate for 40 years. Why that for 40 years? Rashi mentions on the Pesukim over there in Sefer Yechezkel, one way of looking at it is you have when Pare dreamt the dreams, he dreamt of 7 fat and 7 skinny cows and 7 good and 7 bad ears of grain. Then he repeats that over to Yosef, and then Yosef repeats that before he tells the explanation to Pare. So that means we don't just have one way of looking at it, even though Yosef tells Pare, it means 7 of one and 7 of the other. Really, another way of looking at it is it means there's going to be altogether 42 years of famine, because 7 times 6, because 7 skinny cows, 7 bad ears of grain, repeated 3 times. So really, there's destined to be 42 years. So 2 happened in Yosef and Yaakov's times. Then the other 40 were saved for later, and Mitzrayim was punished with those, and it was empty and desolate for 40 years. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here. So, so far, based on the calculation we said so far, we would reach 116. That Yaakov, so when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, so far it would seem that he was 116. But Uchdiv, but the Pasuk says, by Yom Pare or Yaakov, Tamu Yemei Shnei Chayecha, Pare asked Yaakov, how many years have you lived? And Bechal, you know, Mephoshim point out that's a bit of an unusual thing to ask. You know, to start a conversation by asking somebody how old you are. He looked very old, fine, but so one interesting idea is that Pare had a gate, as brought in the Medrash, Pare had a gate in his, a gate or a doorway, whatever, leading into his throne room, which was Dafka made low, so anybody who comes in has to bow, so that way they're bowing to Pare's divinity, because after all, he considered himself a god. But when Avraham had come to Mitzrayim a couple of hundred years earlier, he and Sarah, the door nest happened, and the lintel of the door lifted up, so Avraham didn't have to bow when he came in, and now the same thing happened for Yaakov. So Pare thought it's the same person. So therefore he's wondering, how old are you? You must be a couple hundred years old by now. Anyway, this is, I don't remember, it's one of the Mephoshim says this, I don't remember. Anyway. So, and by Yom Yaakov Apari, Yemesh name Gura Shloshim Astrona, and he says, I've lived 130 years. So what 130? Hakuf Tes Zayin have him. So far, we've only gotten to 116. Ela Shmamina Yudalid Shnin to have a base Aver, Loi Choshev Lahu. It means we're missing out 14 years that he spent in the Yeshiva of Aver before he left and went to Chor. Now, Marsha points out, that after all, so the fact is, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava, Vayelach Choron, which implies that he went from Be'er Shava directly to Choron. Where's 14 years in, and in fact, you have the Gemara in Chulin, which Rashi brings at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, that he went all the way to Choron, and then Chatzah, how could I have not stopped by Hara Maria Tzadavan, he turned back, and he had Fitzaderech, etc., etc. So where's 14 years in Beis Aver in between? So Marshall says, Beis Aver itself could have been in Be'er Shava. So therefore, what he does is when he leaves Yitzchak and Rivka's house, he goes to the Yeshiva of Eber in the same town. He stays there for 14 years. Then after 14 years, he left there and started heading to Choron. So literally you have Vayetze Yaakov of Be'er Sheva and went to Choron. He had been in Be'er Sheva all those 14 years, but instead of being in his parents' house, he was in Beis Eber. In fact, Marsha points out the word Be'er Sheva has the letters of Aver in it, and it also has the letters of Arba Oser in it. So you have to repeat some letters, but you have the word Be'er Sheva. You can take the letters of it and rearrange and repeat letters as necessary to make the words Arba Oser. So in fact, he goes on to say there must have been 3 Batei Medrash in Be'er Sheva, because Yitzchak himself, it says, also had a Be'er Sheva. Yitzchak himself also had a yeshiva. So therefore, there were actually 3, and he says that you can say a remez in that the words mi be'er shava can be made to spell out shame, Aver, and Og, meaning the father of Yaakov. So there were 3 different batei medrash right there in the one city of Be'er Sheva, and here, since it's not safe to be in Yitzchak's, and since shame had already passed away, so Yaakov betook himself to base Aver. So there's the missing 14 years, and there you have then that Yaakov was indeed 130 years when he appeared in front of Pare. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, or different gears of the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, and another Braisa in Seder Olam, Yaakov Avinu Hoya Mutman Bebeis Eber, or Meshamish, Yaakov Avinu was hiding out and serving Eber, because you know you don't just learn from a Talmud Chacham, you also serve him personally, Yud Dalad Shana for 14 years, Ola Acha Yudosa Shah Yaakov La Ram Narayim Beis Shana Mes Eber. 2 years after Yaakov left for Aram Narayim, Eber passed away. If you look in the figures, and based on the figures in Parshas Bereishis and Noach, you come out the Mabul was in the year 1656. Shem at that time was a hundred. A couple of generations later, you have Eber was born. He lived 464 years. He passes away in the year 2187. Meanwhile, the brachas were given in 2171, and 14 years brings us to 2185. So he left for Haran in 2185, and 2 years later, 2187, is when Eber passed away. Yotzer Misham, so then Yaakov left there, Vola L'Aram Narayim, and he went to Aram Narayim. Nimsa, so it comes out, Sha'omad Al-Aber Ben Ayin Zayin Shon. So he was 77 when he came to the well over there and met Rachel. So not like we thought before, he was 63. He was 77, and then he worked for 7 years until he married Leah, and then a week later Rachel, and everything continued from there. Okay. So now Umanolon Deloy Iyanash Yaakov Avinu. So now we need the next part. How do we know that Yaakov was not punished by being deprived of Yosef's company for the years that he was learning Torah, which was the original point that the Gemara is out to prove over here, that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibbut Abraham. So the Tanya, we learn another Braisa. Nimtza Yosef Shapirish Me'ovav Shalera Och Habez Shana. It comes out that Yosef was missing, as if was separated from his father, for 22 years, corresponding to the 22 years that Yaakov was away from his father. The 22 years, it actually points out, the calculation is very simple with Yosef. He was 17 when he was sold. He was 30 when he became prime minister. 70 years of plenty, 2 years of famine until the family came. So that brings us to Yosef at the time was 39. 39 minus 17 is 22. Meanwhile, we're saying Yaakov himself, so far we've accounted for 34 years. And actually, as the Gemara is going to point out in a minute, there's two more. So the question is, Yaakov tlos in v'shita avyan. The question is, what do you mean Yaakov was away from his father for 22 years? Based on everything we said, he was away for 36 years. So, Ella shmamina, he left when he was 63, and he returned when he was 99. So Ella shmamina yadavad the base Eber lechoshev lahu. So therefore, we have to say he's not, the 14 that he was in base Eber are not counted towards the time that he was away, and therefore he wasn't punished for them. So therefore, he was deprived of Yosef for only 22 years, not 36. He was learning, saying to them was primarily when he was working for Lavan. It's as he said, the Shira Malos, and yet, when he was learning in Beis Eber, he was learning Torah. You have over there, Rashi mentions that when he was in Beis Eber, he never slept properly, and when he was the 20 years in Lavan's house, he also never slept properly, and he only had the one night sleep in between, on Hara Maria, proper night sleep. There's an interesting essay from Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, that talks about the significance of that, why Dapka the numbers 14 and 20, and why there has to be sleep in between. One thing is it connects to the possibly Yodcha Achid Ruchi, which we say before we go to sleep. The Yodcha. Your Dalit and then Chof. And Afkid Ruchi, that I entrust my Neshama, I entrust my Ruach, and Yaakov had to do that in order to make it possible for him to marry Rachel and Leah and found the Jewish people. Anyway. So, the question is, Soif, do Beis Lavan Chof have him? Okay, so far though, we only have 20 years in Beis Lavan. 14 working for Rachel and Leah's hand, and then 6 years after that, so that he was working for the sheep. So where's the other two? The answer is he also spent 2 years on the trip home. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Yotzma Aram Naharayim, that Braisa continues and says, after he left Aram Naharayim, he came to Sukkos, in between was the meetup, the confrontation with Esau, but then the first place where it says that he actually stayed for some period of time was Sukkos. But also from Yud Ches Chodesh. He ended up spending 18 months over there. Shenema, the pasuk says, Yaakov traveled to Sukkos, Vayivin Loiboyus, and he built himself a house, and that means, Bimei HaChorif, in the wintertime, you need a house. You know? And then the pasuk continues, Lumkneu Osa Sukkos, and for his cattle, he made Sukkos, he made booths, he made huts for them, and therefore he called the place Sukkos. So the word Sukkos implies, in plural, Bayis is singular, Sukkos is plural, implying two sets of huts. For two summers. So in other words, he stayed there a summer, a winter, and another summer, which is a total of 18 months. Rashi points out you do also have another time when it says Sukkos in the pasuk. It says V'Yakov Nosa Sukkosa by Yivin Loivoyus L'Mekneu also Sukkos. But Al Ken Koreshem Amakim Sukkos. But we're not counting that because that's the name of the place. Of course, the pasuk needs to tell us that Yaakov went to the name of the place. Actually, Maharsha says that, and he points out Rashi on the pasuk seems to say a little differently. The fact that it says Sukkosa and then Sukkos implies that that's where we get the two sets of boots. Whatever the case, the point is he spent 18 months there. And then over Beisel, also Bov Chadoshim, then he spent 6 months in Beisel, Behikriv Zvachim, the Kayav of Yitzchak, where there he brought Korbanos to Hashem, as Hashem himself told him to go there, Kumalai Beisel, Vashem Sham, and he ended up spending six months over there. Now, Maharsha points out it wasn't only, during those 6 months, other things happen as well during that time as the rest of the time when he's traveling to Hebron. Meanwhile, you have the whole thing with Dinah and Shechem. Meanwhile, you have the whole thing with Reuven and the bed and so forth. But the point is, the pasuk wants to stress that even though a good part of that 6 months was spent in Beisel and bringing Korbanos, nevertheless, he still shouldn't have done that. He still should have hurried home as soon as possible. And therefore, we're saying that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibbutz Avraham, but Korbanos are not necessarily. So yes, he had to go to Beisel and spend some time there, but he shouldn't have taken undue time over there, and therefore that counts towards the 22 years. So you're asking what were they learning Torah if the Torah wasn't given yet? Well, we know the Ovis kept the whole Torah before it was given. So they were learning that. They're learning Torah on the level at which they can derive on their own. We know Avraham Avinu famously did. He derived from the world around him everything that Hashem wants us to do. And says he kept even Eder Beit Tavshilin. So yeah, in the yeshiva of Eder, they would have been learning on that level as well. They may have been learning other things as well, but yeah. Anyway, the point is, we see that in the end, Yaakov was deprived of Yosef for 22 years, corresponding to 22 of the 36 years that he was away, whereas in fact, he was away for 36 years, but again, the 14 were saying don't count, because those he was learning Torah, and we see therefore that learning Torah is greater than Kibbutz Avraham.
But Yaakov didn't reply to Paro, he mentioned it, I 33.
Yeah, he used 33 words, and therefore 33 years were removed from his life. Right. He was supposed to say, he could have just said his age without mentioning the whole thing about what a hard life he had. Okay. There's another reason. The Zohar brings out another reason why Yaakov's missing 33 years of his life. He lived to 147 instead of Yitzchak's 180. It's because he gave 33 away to David HaMelech. It's brought that Avraham gave David 5 years, Avraham gave him 5 years, Yaakov gave him 33, Yosef gave him 28 because Yosef lived because Yosef lived to 110, he should have lived longer. So no, I think Yosef actually, I think it says gave 37, whatever. There's different figures that each of the that different one of the always gave to make up David HaMelech 7 years. So. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. It also says that Adam edition. Okay. Yeah, there are a number of different explanations why if Adam had gave him 70 years, why the Ovis also had to give him 70 years. There's explanations including, for example, that Adam's years were spoiled because of the Chet Eitz Hadas, and therefore they're not suitable for David, or that there's two different levels that Avraham, that David HaMelech needs Gashmiyistik life as well as Ruchmiyistik life, and then there's different explanations of the Kabbalah that Ovis had to give David certain qualities that he wasn't going to get from Adam's years. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Yitches Adubez. The Rambam says at the end of Mishnah Torah, which we just finished, that all the Jewish people are going to be Chachamim Gedolim. So that means also, among other things, that means that all the Chochmos are going to come back to Chachmei Yisrael. Like this, in our times, we have to rely on Chachmei Umas Ha'olam for certain things. That Amman himself writes at the end of Kiddush HaChodesh, that he had to rely on books by Greek and Arab astronomers in order to write things in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. And he says that there were books that were written by Chachmei Yisrael, but which haven't reached us. So now, La'asid Lavoi, all of this will come back to our Chachamim, and we'll be able to know it from the Torah, like we find the story in Masechta Bechoras, where Rabbi Yeshua is able to know how long a snake's pregnancy lasts from Psukim in the Torah, whereas you had over there the Chachmei Atuna had to derive it by doing actual experiments, and Rabbi Yeshua points out that their experiment was flawed. So La'asid Lavoi, none of that will be necessary. We'll be able to know it directly from the Torah. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos, when you have dirt or something on a garment on Shabbos, so you can wipe it with a rag or something, but you can't. The Alter Rebbe points out you can't press too hard because then you're gonna embed the liquid into the stain or whatever into the beged. But you can't pour water on it, because pouring water on a beged amounts to laundering, and so that's the tolda of the malacha of malab. So an example of it is if a baby urinates on something, so you can't pour water, but if it's on the ground or if it's on a wooden or leather keli, you're allowed to pour water on them, because kibbutz, the concept of washing things, doesn't apply to, of laundering things, doesn't apply to such things. Connects, by the way, with something in this week's parasha, where you have a beged, a shegiza olav, that blood of a chata spritzes on a beged, you have to wash it in the azara, but the Gemara points out, in Zvachim, and the Rambam brings it lahalacha, that doesn't apply if it comes on a piece of hard leather or wood or whatever, there's no kibbutz with that, you just have to wipe it off. Right.